Amen. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about a really one verse that Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Anybody here weary or heavy laden this morning? All right, there's some. There's some. And this is found in Matthew chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew 11, verse 28. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, come to me. It's an invitation. Come to me. Whenever you get an invitation in the mail, you get a choice of how you're going to respond. It's an invitation. Come to me. Right? For who? All who are weary and heavy laden. How do you know if you're weary and heavy laden? You get to decide. It's your choice. Are you weary and heavy laden? When you think about what you're walking through right now in your life, when you think about your day-to-day, whether it's job or home or family or finance or whatever, are you in a place where you're weary or heavy laden? I can't tell that to you. Even just what I know about your life, you might be, for me, if I look at your life, it could feel so overwhelming, and yet here you are walking with peace and joy and life all through it. So it's not for somebody else to tell you. It really is for you, between you and the Lord. Are you weary and heavy laden? He says, come to me. It's also embedded with a promise. It's an invitation with a promise. The promise is, I will give you rest. It's not that you have to do this, this, and this. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's a divine exchange. He's saying, I'm going to take your yoke. If you'll give it to me, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to replace it with my yoke. Right? Give me what you're carrying. Learn from me. I have learned a better way. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is not being forceful. He's not being demanding. He's not controlling. He says, I am here to serve you in love. If you trust me, that's a key. If you trust me, come, you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why wouldn't everybody take Jesus up on this invitation? It seems too good to be true. It seems like it's a really good deal. If I'm carrying this heavy, heavy burden, and he's saying, just come and give me that, and I'll give you my burden, it's easy and light. I think the reality is sort of, as I've sort of pressed in, there's some challenges in our lives, in the way that we navigate life, is that taking Jesus up on his offer, it requires us to let something go. Not all of us are ready to let something go. In order to receive what Jesus is pouring out, I have to let go of what I'm carrying. Still, that seems like, well, why not? If what I'm carrying is overwhelming me or weighing me down tremendously, why wouldn't I just give it up? I think sometimes familiarity, right, who I am with this yoke that I've been carrying for a long time, it's my identity. It becomes a challenge. Are you saying I have to let that go in order to receive what you want to give me? What I'm carrying feels really important. You ever felt that? Right? Or I feel really important carrying it. Because it may not be that the thing is really important, but somehow the way that it makes me feel, this, even if it's heavy and it requires a lot of exertion, somehow I feel significant carrying it. Maybe it's being busy or fast-paced or this sense of, look at all that I'm doing. Right? Maybe our yoke consists of all we're facing or enduring or all that's coming against us. Do you ever get something out of all that you're having to endure in life? The pressure, the circumstances, or even warfare sometimes makes us feel significant. And Jesus is inviting us to lay it down, to give him control. And there's a cost to letting go, because it often requires changing our mindset or renewing our mind with truth. I put down changing our modus operandi. I think I'm saying that right. Any Latin majors in the room? Right? Your mode of operation, how you do life. Right? You're so used to doing life. I have routines and rituals and way that I go about my mornings that sometimes I think the Lord says, you would be better off if you just laid that down. That's my personal challenge. He's saying, I'm going to give you truth that sets you free. If you want it, it's available. It's yours. You just have to renew your mind with it. But accessing his truth, it involves trusting that our significance comes from God. Right? Who he says we are versus what we carry or we endure or what we do. And so we're going to look at four different scriptures of Jesus interacting with individuals that sort of touch on this theme, right? The first one is in Luke chapter 10. All of these, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, they're going to be really familiar passages, right? But Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So Jesus arrives in this village, and Martha welcomes him into her home. The custom is that women would serve the guests. That was the custom of the time. And Martha is embracing her role. She's fully engaged in preparation. She's fully engaged in serving. She's on, right? And she's ready for it. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet. She's Martha's sister. Mary chooses to be in Jesus' presence. She chooses to listen to his teaching, just to sit and listen to him. And Martha becomes indignant because Martha knows the culture. Martha knows what's right, right? And she starts fuming. Have you ever felt a twinge of something go on in you and you don't say anything about it? And so it sort of festers, even in a quick moment of time, and then this anger starts rising up in you, and you're still not saying anything about it, but it's just increasing and increasing and increasing till you sort of explode. That's sort of the picture that I see with this little scenario, because it seems like what Martha feels is that what Mary is doing is not okay. It is not right. It's actually an injustice. She's not following the rules. And when she has enough, Martha says to Jesus, isn't it interesting? She doesn't go to Mary. She doesn't say, "Hey, Mary, what are you doing?" She says, "Jesus." She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." And Jesus's response is very unexpected because it's countercultural. He says something that you would never expect in this culture. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Ultimately, Martha, you are weary and heavy laden. You're carrying something that you don't need to carry. Right? Martha's activity and care and desire to honor Jesus is not unnoticed by Jesus. He gets it. He has lived in this culture for at least 30 years on earth. He created the culture ultimately, right? He understands what's going on. Martha's just operating from a traditional mindset. She's operating from a familiar mindset. She's doing what any good Jewish woman would do. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion to sit in Jesus' presence. True rest for her soul. And he tells Martha, it will not be taken away from her. Now, did Jesus model this? Did Jesus sit at the Father's feet every day, all day? When you read through the Gospels, is that the Jesus you see? I don't see that Jesus, right? Jesus is ministering and he's serving. He's always being sought out for audiences. There's crowds that are gathering around him. Everybody has a need. Everybody has a want. And Jesus is the answer. But he served from a place of rest. Isn't that interesting? When you look at Jesus's yoke, you have masses of people coming, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the outcasts, the Pharisees who are trying to kill him. All this is happening all the time. And Jesus seems to navigate it. He walks through it seemingly with a place of peace, a place of rest. There's something that he's learned. Obviously, there's references in the scripture about Jesus getting away to be with the Father. There's scripture verses that said he could only do what he saw the Father doing. He could only say what he heard the Father saying. There's something about his relationship that he stewarded with the Father. It says if he's sitting in the presence of the Father always, as he's praying for the blind person, as he's releasing a corrective word to the Pharisees or the scribes, as he's calling his disciples, hey, come on. Remember who we are. Remember who you are. Let's go. It seems interesting to me that Jesus, he has something about the way that he navigates life is his yoke really is easy. It's really light. And yet think about the demands that are put upon him. Jesus served from a place of rest or a place of communion with the Father. And his identity was beloved from the moment of his baptism all the way through resurrection, right here on earth. He knew he had a sense of belovedness. His Father declared it over him. It shaped who he was. And from the truth of this identity, he defeats the devil and the works of the enemy, and he sets captives free. And Martha was operating under the tradition of man. I'm not going to hold it against her. She's not a horrible person. She's just trying to love and honor Jesus, right? And Jesus simply revealed a new way. Do you think Mary would serve again? Or was Jesus saying, you're done. You don't have to serve again. Was that what Jesus was doing? I don't think so, right? She would serve again, but not from a place of anxiety or stress. See, often we read this passage, and many of you guys have studied this passage before, and there's this comparison, Martha and Mary, and which are you? The reality is, we're all called to serve. We're all called to lay down our lives for others if you're following Jesus. You're all called to make people feel welcome in your home and feel hospitable and loved and generously give of your spirit. We're all called to that. And you can do it under high levels of stress and panic. Is it going to be right? Is everything going to be okay? Or you can do it from a place of peace, a place of rest. I think Jesus is modeling something different, a different way of doing life. It's from a place of presence, peace, rest, hope, joy, and love. Let's look at another scripture. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Lisa preach on this passage. So it should be familiar. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, he is Jesus, let us go across to the other side. He's speaking to his disciples. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. but he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He awoke and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So Jesus tells his disciples, he says, Let's go across to the other side. And then he goes to sleep in the boat. And a mighty wind comes, water's filling up the boat. The disciples are freaking out and fighting for their lives and for Jesus' life, mind you. What is the yoke they're carrying? Fear, anxiety, loss of control, the pressure to do something. You ever been in that situation, having pressure to do something? You don't know what to do, but you're going to do something, right? Responsibility to get to the other side. How did they hear what Jesus said? Was it a command to disciples? Get me to the other side. I'm going to go take a nap. And so they feel this pressure, right? We don't know exactly what is going on, but we can see there's a measure of panic. And they wake Jesus up in panic with an accusation. They say, Don't you care that we are perishing? Martha said, Don't you care? The disciples say, Don't you care? It's an accusation. Have you ever talked to Jesus in a similar manner? Have you ever felt that? Right? Jesus, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care about my life? And Jesus wakes up and he says three words. He says, Peace, be still. And something the disciples never witnessed before in the history of their lives, the storm is peace. The wind stops, waves stop. I'm sure there's still some water in the boat. And there's a great calm. Imagine being one of the disciples. Everything that was causing you to panic and freak out in an instant, peace. And Jesus says, Why are you so afraid? And the disciples say, Well, because we almost died. We had every right to be afraid. You were sleeping. And then he says, Have you still no faith? I think this is one of those verses that you get to choose. How do you interpret this verse? How do you hear the tone of this verse? When Jesus says, Have you still no faith? Is it a verse with a tone of correction? Have you still no faith, you stupid disciples? When are you going to get it? Haven't you seen everything that we've been doing? Don't you know who I am? Or is it a verse of, Come away with me. Let me teach you more about faith. There's way more to faith than what you realize. It has more powerful than you could ever think or imagine. It's power not only over healing the sick, the blind, the lepers. It's power over all creation. You can have faith like that. Jesus ultimately saying to his disciples, Take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. Even in the face of the storm, I am with you. I told you we were going to go to the other side, right? That was part of what Lisa was focusing on last week. As you sit here today, or if you're listening on the podcast, are you in an external storm today? We have things that are going on in your life that feel out of control or overwhelming, or they're threatening your life even. And maybe Jesus seems absent or unconcerned. Are you willing to lay down your yoke? How you've been carrying it? There's an invitation to trust him afresh today. It's your choice. It's a choice. He's here saying, I'm here for you, right? Trust him again that he's with you. Trust him again that he's for you. Trust him that you're actually going to make it to the other side. This thing isn't going to kill you. This thing isn't going to destroy you. Jesus is laying on the cushion. He's not panicked. He's not overwhelmed. And he's saying, take my yoke. Take my yoke. They get to the other side, and we're going to read the next little account. It's in Mark 5, verse 1. It starts and it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. So now imagine being one of the disciples. You just came through this ordeal on the boat. You land on the shore, and there's a man from the tombs who is approaching you, screaming, and he's all bloody. Jesus, where did you bring us? We risked our lives and almost died for this guy? You're serious? And Jesus is like, yes. This is the man on the Father's heart. This one. This screaming man, this bloodied man, this man that nobody knows what to do with, this man is the one on the Father's heart. This is the one who was abandoned by all, but not abandoned by the Father. This is the one with a destiny and a call on his life, even though nobody could see it. Nobody could even imagine that it would be possible. This one, who's in the midst of an internal storm, the world would say that he's better off dead, to be done with the torment that he had to deal with. But Jesus has a different rest to give him. What a yoke this man's carrying, right? And yet Jesus is standing before him with a new yoke. He's saying, I'll take that. You can have this one. It's light. It's easy. And ultimately, freedom comes from a word. Have a Jesus. He casts the demons into the pig. The herdsmen run and tell the villagers what happened. And in verse 15, it says, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The man's free. The storm's over. In an instant. It's over. It's a different word. He didn't say, peace be still, but ultimately, he says, bye-bye, demons. Peace be still. Right? True rest for his soul was released. What no man in the region can control, they had tried to control this man. I think they were doing it in love, ultimately, right? You ever been in a situation you're trying to help someone and you just run out of what to do? You don't know what else to do to help them, right? Jesus, he never is in that position. He always knows what to do. He always knows exactly what to say. And isn't it interesting in both of these accounts, this isn't in my notes, but in both of these accounts, it leaves the people who are involved in a state of awe, speechless. They don't know what to do with it, right? And then Jesus, he models, I think, one of the most important principles of the kingdom. He says, ultimately, to this man, he launches him. And it reminds me of the truth that we're not just saved from something. Jesus didn't go to the Gerasenes just to save him from the demonic influence in his life. That wasn't enough. Jesus meets this man. He sets him free. And then he launches him into a kingdom ministry to share his testimony all across the Decapolis. In a moment, he encounters fullness of life, but he's also launched into his destiny and his purpose. I love that. You and I, we're not just saved to have eternal life. Is eternal life a good thing? Yeah. If you have it, celebrate it, right? The reality, though, is each of us was also saved to be launched into our spheres of influence as kingdom ambassadors. Wherever he's positioned you, you're meant to go and release and help set other captives free. Freely I receive, freely I give. What has he saved you from? That's an indicator, most likely, of some of what you get to release into other people's lives. Right? All right, last story. Mark chapter 5, we're going to stay in Mark. Verse 25, though, says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. She had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse." Some of you guys today who are listening, you've had medical conditions for a long time. Maybe it's been 12 years. Maybe it's been longer than 12 years. My youngest son is 12 years old. Right? So I think about his life when I read this passage. His whole life, this woman's been struggling with this issue of blood. And maybe in your condition, every area of your life has been impacted by the medical condition that's going on in your life. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was an outcast in her society. Also, cultural norms, right? If you have any issue of blood, you are an outcast, because if you come in contact with somebody else, they become unclean. And so ultimately, she would be like the lepers saying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. I have to live with a buffer around me. No society, no community," right? And she had done everything that she knew to do, right? She went to the doctor, she paid a lot of money, but she only got worse. She was desperate for a new yoke. She didn't have the language, but she was desperate for something different. Her yoke was extremely heavy. Doesn't it make sense that after 12 years of being sick in a certain way, that you would just come to the point and say, "Obviously, it's God's will. This is my lot." I think that makes sense, right? For most of us, it makes perfect sense. And yet somehow with this woman, she spent all of her money, she's an outcast, and somewhere inside of her, there's this spirit of hope, or like a ray of hope, that's saying, there's got to be more. We don't know where that came from or why that came. It says in verse 27 that she had heard the reports about Jesus, right? And it came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. In verse 28, it's very interesting because it says, "For she said, if I touch even his garment, I would be made well." Where does that thought come from? Nobody else in the record of the Gospels had ever received healing just by touching Jesus' garment. No one. Where did she come up with that idea? "If only I could touch his garment, I'll be healed." Yeah, it's interesting. Somehow, I think sometimes if you have even just a little ray of hope, you're looking for a solution. You're still believing there's an answer. But when you've laid all hope down and you've just accepted this is how it's going to be, you stop looking. For somehow this woman, she kept looking. There's something about her. I think we can learn from her. And she immediately, it says, the flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She risked her life to touch him, because it was against the law to touch him. She deserved to be stoned for her action, right? Hit with rocks and killed. That's what I'm saying. And she gets her healing. It worked. It worked. And in verse 30, Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" The disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, right? Everybody's touching your garments. And yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So the woman comes into the light. What do you think she expects to happen? I personally think she expected to be punished for her actions. Like, imagine 12 years. You've done everything that you could possibly think of doing, and it doesn't work out. And now she thinks of one other idea, and she comes and she touches his garment. She breaks all laws. How many other people came in contact with her as she's coming through the crowd to touch his garment? I think she thought she would be punished, personally. That this is what she would deserve. Who was she to dare believe that God cared about her? To hope for something different? That she deserved love and care and affection from a loving father? And then Jesus says one word, "Daughter." Was it Jesus' daughter? Nope. Daughter. It's a word that says, you're seen. You're known. You're loved. Daughter. Daughter. You expect to be punished. Daughter. You're seen. You're known. You're loved. He says, your faith has made you well. Your risk worked. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Ultimately, receive my yoke. It's light. It's easy. Receive true rest for your soul. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, in verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." And so if you're weary and heavy laden this morning, there's a knock. Open the door. Open the door. The Prince of Peace is at your door. The one who carries all peace is at your door. And he just wants to be with you. He just wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you, eat with you. Can you hear his voice to you personally as you read the scripture? "Come to me, all who are weary." Can you hear your name? If you're here this morning and you're weary, come to me. I could go through people's names. Is it just to his disciples in the gospel? Or is it to all disciples? Really all people. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, it's an invitation embedded with a promise. Jesus is at the door, I believe, this morning saying, "I'm delivering you an invitation." Again, it's real. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray two prayers, because I think some of us in the room and some listening, you're going through external storms. There's things that are going on all around you that feel overwhelming, and God really cares about you. And then some of you are going through internal storms. There's stuff that's going on in your mind or your heart or your spirit that just feels overwhelming, and God cares about you as well. And so I'm going to pray, and then my hope, my trust is that God is, our God that we worship is a God of divine exchanges. And we're going to play a song. It's going to be one more song on YouTube. Sorry, Pastor Lisa, for that confusion this morning. It's the last song, and it's going to be now. And it's really, it's a chance for you to do business with God, just between you and Him. If you have a yoke that you're carrying and you're tired of carrying it and you want to give it to Him, it's an opportunity to do that. You can do that in your seat. You can come up to the altar. It's whatever you feel comfortable doing. And the goal isn't just to take off your yoke and to give it to Him. It's actually to receive in exchange His yoke that's light, His yoke that's easy. Again, trusting that He's with you, He's for you, and He knows what to do. So let's pray. All right, Jesus, obviously you know every single person in this room. You know their stories. You know every person on the podcast. You know their stories. You know the external storms that they might be facing right now, just like the disciples in the boat, right? This thing comes up out of nowhere, and they don't know what to do about it. But it evokes fear and anxiety and stress and this sense of pressure to control, right, or responsibility. And I just pray for those individuals that are in that place with whatever external things would be coming at them this morning. Lord, would they be able to hear the truth that you are right there with them, with power and authority to speak a word to make the whole storm cease? And your heart is right there. And I pray that in the way that they have maintained or developed an identity out of navigating in this way of stress, you're inviting them to lay that down and then to receive your yoke, which is light, your yoke, which is easy, that says you can even pass through a storm, overwhelming as it is, from a place of peace and a place of rest. And I just pray for those that they would experience your divine exchange this morning and in these next days and weeks to come. There would be a shift and how they navigate, even if things feel overwhelming on the outside, that they would be able to sleep in the boat as they go across. I just pray for grace in that way. And then anybody here this morning who's going through an internal storm, where you can't stop the racing that's going on in your mind, all the thoughts that keep bombarding you, in your heart, the anxiety that wells up, and you're having panic attacks, and you just don't know what else to do. No matter what you've tried, it doesn't seem to work. Right? Or there's a medical condition that's risking your life and you're just not sure, or you're just weary from all that's happened over the years as you've been trying to navigate or fight this thing. I just pray for grace, your mercy, Jesus. And just like the man at the Gerasenes, I praise you that that each of you who hear the sound of my voice, you are on the Father's heart. And that He is pursuing you with love and with power to address the thing that feels like it's so overwhelming. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would meet those individuals this morning with the grace to be able to take that yoke off and to lay it at your feet and to receive your yoke that's light and that's easy. And just like the man, that they would be able to sit at the shore where nobody could recognize them, because he was there in a sound mind. Everything had changed. In the pre-service prayer, we did a song about all of a sudden. And Jesus, I pray for those that have been wrestling for a long time under a heavy yoke, under a heavy burden. And I ask that in the midst of even these next 6 minutes as we play this song, that there would be that divine exchange, that all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything shifts. Your heart is for them. I pray, if nothing else, there would be an increased level of trust in the truth that you're with each one of us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. It's truth. And we can own that. And so we just pray that you would seal this word, that it would be utilized for your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Jesus, we pray that you would just seal any divine exchanges that just took place. Our people laid their yoke that they were carrying at your feet, and they received your yoke, which is light, easy. I just ask that you would seal that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One sort of final thought, just as we were playing that song, because our yokes and our burdens, right, they're familiar, and they seem normal, they seem natural, they seem like they're part of us, right? It's sort of how we navigate life. Is you'll go through your next week, but because they're so familiar, the enemy will try to come. You'll start feeling a twinge of anxiety, or you'll get the phone call, or you'll look at the checkbook, or you'll have a conversation with your spouse. You're like, I haven't changed. It didn't work. The reality is you have a choice in that moment. You can pick up your old yoke and put it back on. Or you can remember that the invitation from Jesus is always open. It's always there for you. And you don't have to put the old yoke back on. You can say, no, I'm going to lay that aside. That's part of renewing your mind with truth. And I'm going to just keep walking with this new yoke. Jesus says his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He gave it to me, so now it's mine. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I can operate from a place of rest, operate from a place of his presence, even through this storm or even through any thoughts that would come to try to get you. Okay, so just know that. All right, bless you guys.